tree lately? No one's raising their hand. Wow, that's good. But are you sure? Well, let's see. I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, because we're going to be talking about this tonight. And this is the second half of Darren's sermon from this morning. Exodus chapter 20. And yes, this is the proverbial Ten Commandments. And we've read them many times, starting at the first verse. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Going to be talking about that also. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So the things that we're going to be discussing tonight is taking his name in vain, honoring thy father and thy mother, and committing adultery. If you did these things, it's worthy of death in the law of Moses. If you didn't honor your father and your mother, you could be dragged out of your house. Your neighbors would drag you out of your house. If you caused dishonor to them, and your neighbors would take you outside the walls of the city and stone you. Same way with adultery and taking his name in vain. They were so careful about God's name that in their writings they would abbreviate it, because they didn't want to mess it up. It was that sacred to them. I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter. Jeremiah chapter 3, starting at the first verse. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another's man's, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. And he's talking to Judah. Thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. He's telling them, you've gone with many others, and yet you come back to me. And the law of Moses said you should be put to death. And yet I don't put you to death. They went and they served other gods. And he let them come back. They went and they espoused themselves to Satan. And he let them come back without destroying them. They were punished, but he told them, he says, I will let you come back, and in the end, you'll never go out again. You'll stay in that holy city, and you will be mine. No more going out, no more sorrow, no more suffering. Ye adulterers. Well, let's keep reading. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. There wasn't any place in the land of Israel, no high place anywhere, even in the temple, that they didn't have their groves and their altars and stuff to the false gods. I mean, it was prevalent throughout the whole land. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. We're still okay. We're still the children of Abraham. We have Abraham for our father. So we are God's chosen people, no matter what we do. They were very proud. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldst. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. Yeah, Israel wouldn't come back. And he's telling Jeremiah to tell Josiah, see what Israel's done? Now, Josiah, don't do this. You're the king of Judah. Don't let Judah do this. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Altars of stone, altars of wood, graven images of stone, graven images of wood, groves of trees, mountain tops. They were worshiping their gods in all these things and in all these ways, both Israel and Judah. Neither one of them would do what they were supposed to do. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. She tried to act like she was his, but in reality she wasn't. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah. So even though Israel wasn't even acting like they were God's people anymore, he was saying, well, they're more justified in what they're doing Judah is justified. Go and proclaim these towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. So he's given Israel a chance to repent and come back, even though they should have been stoned to death. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So he's telling them, you're still mine. We're still married, even though you're committing adultery by going out and sinning against me, breaking all my commandments and worshiping false gods. You're still mine, and I want you to come back to me. Repent of your iniquities. So I ask you again, have you ever committed adultery against God? Even though you espoused yourself to him when you went down into the waters of baptism, you took upon you his name, became part of the bride of Christ. Have we committed adultery in our lives against God? Yeah. Does he want us to come back to him? Yes. Is he willing to forgive us? Yes. Put away our iniquities, repent of our sins, ask for forgiveness, and don't sin anymore. He'll take us back. It's fairly simple. You know, there was no sacrifice that they could give that would take away the sin of adultery. They couldn't do it. He had to die. That's why Christ died for us. He paid the price because he's the groom. Turn to the book of Ephesians. The sixth chapter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Do you honor your father and your mother? Or are you guilty of this sin also? Think about what Darren was telling us this morning. The name of Christ, you've taken it upon you. This church is called the Church of Christ. It has taken the name of Christ upon it because he paid for it with his blood. So do we honor our father and our mother? Turn to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. Start at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Do we give honor to him in all that we do, in all that we say? Do we give honor to him everywhere we go? Do we honor the name of Christ 24/7? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So if we honor him and we honor his bride, his wife, in keeping his commandments and not bringing dishonor upon his name, then we're going to be there. We're going to be his. We'll be his children for all eternity. But if we go out and we sin against God, we break his commandments in any which way you can think of, there's a multitude of ways, then we bring dishonor to the name. And we cause people to turn away from that name through our actions. Turn to the 19th chapter of Alma. Page 446 in the Book of Mormon. It's the 19th chapter of Alma. I'm going to start at the 17th verse. He's talking to Corianton, his son, who was a minister. He says, behold, O my son, how great iniquity you brought upon the Zoramites, for when they saw your conduct, they would not believe in my words. And now the Spirit of the Lord does say unto me, command thy children to do good, lest they lead away the hearts of many people to destruction. Have we done iniquity in the world where people have seen us? Have we done iniquity in our families? Or do we only honor God in the name of Christ when we come here? I'm just asking questions. I really don't know how you live your life outside of this building. Except for some of you, I see stuff on Facebook, and even then on Facebook, that can paint a pretty picture if you wanted to. So I don't know. I know me. You know, I know who I am. I know when I commit sin. I know when I bring dishonor to the name of Christ. And it doesn't make me feel good. I don't like it, and I don't want to do it again, ever. I don't want to have this guilt that Corianton felt on me. I don't want to have the guilt of all of those people that he led astray. I don't want to do that. And I know that you don't want to do that. So how do we act when we're not here 24/7? You know, the Let's turn to, we're going to read something that Darren read this morning, and I was reading it last night. In fact, last night I was reading a lot of this stuff and thinking about honoring Christ and the stuff that Darren talked about this morning. I was thinking about that last night and I was studying and stuff, and Aunt Jolita even asked me, well, what are you studying? So I started talking to her about, you know, all this stuff and everything, and she wasn't here this morning because she wasn't feeling good. But when I got home, you know, my son-in-law and daughter, Cheyenne, they were there and everything. They said they really liked Darren's sermon. And Aunt Jolita said, yeah, I really liked Darren's sermon. You know what was really amazing? Is that the stuff that you were talking to me last night about was the stuff Darren preached this morning. Wasn't that cool? I'm like, it was really cool. But it also scares me. Because I do not want to dishonor Christ anytime, anywhere, for any reason. And I don't want you to do that either. Not just because it'll cause people to turn away that are not in this church, but because you or I might be in danger of losing our souls for eternity in doing it. So don't. Turn to the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. Nope, must be 13. Oh, I am so sorry. 3 Nephi, chapter 12. I might have to get glasses. Page 673. This is one of the things that I had written down last night. And one of the things that Darren read to us this morning. 673, the 18th verse. Have not they read the scriptures which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name. For by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Okay, so we've done that, most of us. Just about all of us in this room have done that, except for the little kids. Do you know the definition of the word vain, where it's used in the book of Exodus, in the Ten Commandments? Do you know what that word means? I thought I did, but it turns out I didn't. I had to look it up because God was pointing it out to me. Sean, what do you think this means? You know, I'm thinking, well, you know, my mom told me that I'm not supposed to use God's name, you know, and use it, when, you know, in swearing and stuff like that. That's taking his name in vain. It's like, that's not it. The word vain means to desolate, destroy, or be destructive. Take his name and destroy it. Make it desolate or be destructive to it. We have taken upon us the name of Christ, and he is telling us, do not sin, those of you who have taken upon you my name, because if you do, you're going to cause all the rest of the people in the world who have not taken upon them my name to turn and walk away. So is there a way out of this? Well, there wasn't in the time of Moses all these things, dishonoring our father and our mother, Christ and the church, committing adultery against Christ by serving other gods, committing sin, destroying the honor of his name, bringing dishonor unto it. There's a way out of it. Turn to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Okay, here's the good news. All right? Yeah, we've all done these things in our life. I know we have, because none of us are perfect. Okay? So yes, at some point in our Christian life, we have taken his name in vain, we have committed adultery against him, and we have dishonored our father and our mother, Christ and the church. But you can be forgiven of that. Okay? I don't want you to think that now we're all going to hell, because we don't have to. We don't want to. Christ paid the price for the sins that we've committed. We just have to go back to him. This is chapter 3 of Matthew, first verse. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So there he was out there in the wilderness, and people from Jerusalem were coming to the river and listening to him. And he had crowds of people. Thousands of people were showing up. So much that in just a little while, everybody in Jerusalem knew that, hey, you want to hear something really different about God? Come down to the river and you'll see. Man, this is amazing. And you know how word of mouth travels faster than anything else? You know, and a good story, some, you know, juicy gossip. Well, this is what they were talking about. And at that time, everybody was talking about it. Even the priesthood was talking about it. And they were not happy. The priesthood wasn't happy. A lot of the people were happy. A lot of the people were going down there and listening to everything John had to say, and they were getting baptized by John. You know, the church of John the Baptist, did you know that it was still going strong for around 125 years after Christ's death? It didn't die out until then. There were people who were still baptizing unto John's baptism 125 years after Christ's death. That's how big a deal it was. It didn't just stop when Christ showed up. These people kept going because it was different. It was new. It was something they wanted to hear, because they all knew they were sinners, and they all knew that they had committed sin worthy of death. And so they wanted that guilt to be taken away from them. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted it. And that's why they came down to the river to hear. And what is this? What's he telling you people? There's a way out of this? There's a chance at joy? There's a chance where I can get rid of this guilt that's inside of me for forever? Well, I want to go and see what he's got to say about this. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" And yeah, that's the theme of our rally. "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. They went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. You guys, those of you who are the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those of you who say you believe in the resurrection but twist the law of Moses every which way you can so you can do what you want and still get away with it. And those of you who say you don't believe in the resurrection but are still twisting the law of Moses so you can do what you want and get away with it. You're not going to get baptized by me until you show me that you've given up your sin, that you don't want to do those things anymore and bend the law and twist it in every which way so you can do what you want. You show me that you don't want to do that anymore, and then you can get baptized. Some of them did. So what about us? Moroni, the 8th chapter of Moroni. Starting at verse 11. This is for all of us. Behold, I say unto you that this thing shall ye teach. Repentance. Change the way you've been thinking about sin. Be a Christian 24/7. Don't just honor his name here, but honor his name everywhere you go. Prepare the pathway of the Lord for everyone around you. Let his light shine forth from you in all that you do and think and say, so that others will not turn away from his name, but come to his name, so that they can have that joy that you've got. That's what he expects from us. Repent. Go down into the waters. Be baptized. Let his light shine forth from you at all times. Don't sin anymore. Don't just act like Judah did. I'm good at church. Or they were, I'm good at temple. I'm good at synagogue. But I'm a nasty businessman, a horrible father, a horrible mother, and a dishonorable son or daughter at all other times. No. Repent. Repent, repent, repent. Parents, adults, people that are old enough to know good from evil. Repent. Be baptized and humble themselves as their little children. Take upon you the name of Christ and become his child. And they shall be saved with their little children. We can be saved. And all of our friends outside of this church can be saved. All of our relatives outside of this church can be saved. All of the strangers that we meet on the street can be saved. As long as we're not acting like Corey Anton outside of here. And their little children need no repentance, neither baptism. They're perfect in his eyes. Because little kids just want all the other little kids to have fun with them. That's how little kids are. That's how children are. They want all the other kids to have fun with them because it's more fun in a group than it is alone. Turn to the 7th chapter of Moroni. Page 766. And we might as well start at the top of the page, verse 26. And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Have you sinned? Do you want to keep on in your sins, or do you want to repent, change the way you're thinking about it, and realize that if you die in your sins, you're going to end up in hell for eternity, and you're never going to have joy again? You're not going to be able to play with the children of Christ for eternity. So repent and go to him and ask him to forgive you. You're going to be asking something from him that's right. And he says right here, as surely as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. None of you have committed the unpardonable sin. Neither have I. So we can be forgiven of our sins. I know you believe in him because I've heard your testimonies. So any little sin that you think that, oh, I can't be forgiven of that. I can't partake of the sacrament because I did this, and he's just not going to forgive me, you know. Well, you know, because I'm a member of the Church of Christ and I knew better, and that's just, you know, I'm just not worthy of it. Well, I'm sorry, but you're listening to the lies of Satan when you think that way. You are worthy. As long as you've repented and you don't want to do it again, he's going to forgive you if you ask him to. He's not going to say, no. No, this is 6 times now, Sean, in the past 3 days, I ain't forgiving you. Not again. You're done. He didn't say that. He said, I will forgive you if you mean it. And you ask for it, faith believing, I will do it. You know, do it for all of our friends. You know, there's not anyone in here that is any better than our friends outside of here. We're all sinners at one point in our life or another. The only difference between us and them is we have this. And we have our testimonies. That's the only difference. Oh, and that we've taken upon us the name of Christ. So we should be acting better than them. But he'll forgive them just like he'll forgive us if they mean it. You can let them know. There's one other thing I want to read. This is in the book of James. I'm going to read this because we have time. The 5th chapter of James, starting at the 13th verse, he asks a question. Is any among you afflicted? Is there anybody among you that's sick? Okay? And we all know where this is going. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Anybody. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's a promise. You can get your sins forgiven through administration, even if you're sick. and you ask the elders to come and anoint your head with oil and pray for you, and you do it in faith, you're going to get healed of the sickness, if that's what God wants at that time, and your sins are going to be forgiven you. Poof, they're gone. Once again, you're a clean little kid. You can go play with all the other little kids of Christ and have fun. Okay? But it says, any among you. So, I've got a little thing. Whenever I call anybody in the ministry with a question or anything like that, and I'll say, how you doing? Well, I'm sick. Yeah, I'm not feeling so good. I'm like, yeah, you really don't sound good at all. I always ask them a question. Have you asked for administration? Most of the time, they'll say, no, I asked God to cure me, though, and heal me and forgive me of my sins myself. Does that count? It didn't sound like it worked. But you notice, whenever we call them, they come a-running. No matter what time of day or night or how far away it is. I mean, Trevor lives in Richmond, Missouri, not Virginia. He lives in Richmond, Missouri, and he went all the way down to Clinton, met Jim somewhere, and just to administer to Cheyenne. Now, there only one was allowed in the emergency room at a time, so Jim went in and did it. But Trevor was out in the emergency waiting room full of sick people, praying his heart out that God would hear the prayer that Jim was offering. So they're willing to do it for us. But we need to encourage them to do it for themselves. Because some of them don't want to bother the other elders. Well, this is something he told us to do. So let's do it. All of us. Any among you who are sick. And I'm sorry, guys, for picking on you, but I don't want you to be sick for weeks on end. I want you to get better right away. So just do it. And those of us who are not elders, same thing goes for you. Just do it. Don't think you're only allowed one a year. If you're sick, you're sick. It says do it. Any among you who are sick, do it. Get it done. So that God can be glorified. He wants to do this so that we can bring honor and glory to his name and go to the people outside this building and say, you wouldn't believe what they did. You wouldn't believe what happened. The elders came and they laid their hands on them and they anointed their heads with oil, and God healed those people. They healed them of this horrible flu. They healed them of well, you know, he heals us of all kinds of stuff. But he doesn't want you to think it's a one-time shot once a year or you're only allowed six times in your entire life. Or, you know, I've actually had people tell me that. Well, I don't want to use up all my turns. It doesn't work that way. He wants to heal us. He wants to forgive us. He wants us to have joy. And we can. You know that we can because you know he's done it to you in the past. You know that you've felt his spirit in the past at times that you were sick, and it's just, it comes all over you and you're just like, oh, thank you, God. Ah, man, I feel so much better. You know, it's, that feeling that you get, and it's all tingly in you, and it's just wonderful. I know you've felt that. You can feel it whenever you need it. Just go to him. Let's go back to Moroni. Page 766. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because that Christ hath ascended into heaven and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, showing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance, and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And you know what? You're supposed to be doing the same thing through your actions, words, and thoughts when you leave this building. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way. The Lord God prepareth the way through us, by using us, that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. Can you imagine if everyone else in the world felt that Holy Ghost enter into them like it's entered into you? What it would do to them? The joy that they would feel? Do you realize how nice this place would be to live in? You know what happened on the American continents? It was like that for several hundred years. It was a nice place. Everybody had the Holy Ghost in them. It can still happen if we do what we're supposed to do. You know, when we die, we go to heaven. It says we're not going to be married. There are no husbands and wives in heaven. There's Christ and there's the bride of Christ, and that's it. And his angels. Okay, but no one is given in marriage in heaven. It says that in Matthew, I think it's the 22nd chapter. It says that when we die and we go to heaven, we're going to be like as the angels. So if we're going to be like as the angels there, don't you think that we should start practicing here first so we know what we're doing when we get there? And be like as the angels, to call men unto repentance and to fill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. Don't you think we should start practicing that now so that we can be like as angels in heaven? And after this manner, this is verse 34. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he has said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. Amen. Thank you.